morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship. It's Rally Day, and our Sunday school program is resuming today. Our sanctuary choir has regathered and rehearsed, and will be sharing in the leadership of the worship service today. We're moved back to the sanctuary, and so we have a little more elbow room, and we have beautiful stained glass windows and the organ music, and just a beautiful place to worship today. Glad that you're here. Very happy that you're here today. And just, you know, send a special welcome to those who are visiting here. If it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. And we ask that you place that card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and there are a couple additions or changes. One is to note the diaconate is meeting after the service today. Tomorrow night at 6:30, the church council will be having its first meeting of program year. That did not make the calendar. You'll note Bible study is on Tuesday. Friday is our feeding ministry. We'll be providing the meal for Bread of Life. And we will need cakes. We're back to our regular menu of shepherd's pie and vegetables and other things. So we will need cakes for Friday. And also you'll note on Saturday that the American Baptist Women's Ministries is having a program. And Dottie Foxen has invited the women to her home in North Reading this coming Saturday, September 17th, for the women's first meeting and social at lunchtime. Marilyn Glover will be driving if anyone needs transportation. And please let Dottie or Marilyn know if you're able to attend so that Dottie can arrange enough food. Also, you will note next Sunday, immediately after the worship service, there will be a special congregational business meeting. The information is there, and we'll expect that to be a very brief meeting. And afterwards, the Board of Christian Mission will have its monthly meeting, probably in the parlor. Some other announcements, that the following Sunday, not the 18th, but on the 25th, we'll be having a very special coffee hour, All Hands In, which is an organization based here in Massachusetts that works with human trafficking. We'll be here and we'll be bringing special coffee and goodies for us to sample to demonstrate and show some of the coffee that they provide if we would like to order that. It's not a heavy sales pitch. All Hands In is one of our mission projects as well, and we support that through our mission budget. So you may want to especially stay on the 25th of September after the worship service. Also, the Refugee Immigration Ministry, better known as RIM, is having another fundraiser. The North Cluster is again selling bulbs to support their continued effort to welcome those in need into our community. We will be selling bulbs through local congregations. And the bulbs are top quality and naturalize well. To order bulbs, please use the form that is available in Judson Chapel during coffee hour. And bulbs will be available to pick up on October 16th, on Sunday, October 16th. So we've got a week or two, I think, to order them. And there are order forms there. If you have any questions, you may speak to Marilyn Glover. Also, there is a sign-up sheet for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and I believe greeters and coffee hour hosts are needed for next week, and there may be a greeter still needed for the 25th, so please consider volunteering that way. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 28 for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word found in Psalm 103 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Come, let us praise the Lord with our inmost being.
Praise his holy name.
Let us not forget all of his benefits.
He forgives all our sins.
He heals all our diseases.
He redeems our lives from the pit, crowns us with his love and compassion.
He satisfies our desires with good things,
so that our youth is renewed like the eagles.
Our opening hymn this morning is God of Our Fathers, number 758. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Mm-hmm.
Let us pray together. God, you are our guide and our protector. As we gather today in your holy house, open our hearts and minds that we may be inclined to hear the gentle direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us, we pray, to follow you as you lead us to the place you have created for us. Forgive us where we have fallen short of your will for us, and renew our troubled spirits with the assurance of your love and your mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Together, I invite you to do so. If not, then you may go to your class. It's up to you, whichever you'd like to do. Who's the teacher today? Who's teaching today? Debbie's teaching. Is Debbie here? No. Debbie's already. All right, so Mrs. Smith is upstairs. If you'd like to go to your classroom, students, you may do so. We have an opportunity now to share our celebrations and our concerns with one another before going into prayer. And we'd like to keep Peggy Blum's grandson, Chris, in prayer. Chris has been hospitalized and underwent a lot of tests. They think they've determined what is wrong, and they've given him some medication that seems to have been working well. So we want to keep Chris and his family in prayer today. Also, it's good to have Delphine back in the choir. So Delphine has been out of the choir since winter, but well enough to be back in the choir, so we celebrate that. Also, we want to keep Chuck and Cindy Huddy in prayer as they continue to be in Hawaii with Chuck's mom, caring for her. Also, we want to continue to remember David Tolstra, who is undergoing chemotherapy, and remembering May Upperman. She continues to pretty much be at home, struggling with the inability to swallow. So we want to keep May in prayer today. And also we want to keep 9/11 survivors, those who died, those who were first responders, that whole event in our prayers today. There have been many ceremonies going on this morning and this weekend. We want to keep those folks in prayer today as well. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns this morning? Okay, Kathy's having a few issues with her son, so I'll keep Kathy and her son in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Okay, so I'll keep the Moore family in prayer today who have a loss in their family. Oh, Lisa's birthday was yesterday, so that's a real celebration. Our church moderator is another year wiser. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these. Oh, I'm sorry, one more request. Yes. Friend named Lucy, who passed away last night of breast cancer. I'll keep her in prayer. Anyone else? Then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, it is good to come to your house this day to worship you. It's good to be in this room, this sanctuary that's been dedicated to you and to sit and bask in the light from the stained glass windows and hear the music from the organ reverberate against the walls and just to be filled with your Spirit as we worship here. Lord, for some of us, it's our first time here, and others, we've been coming for years and years and even decades. For some of us, this is our church home, and others may be seeking a church home. But Lord, we thank you that you are here, and that you have enabled us to be here this day. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will continue to move among us and stir us within us to be more faithful in our following, that we may have open ears and open minds this day to listen for your call. Listen for your voice, whether it's spoken or unspoken, and what it means for us. Lord, we pray for those that are not able to be here this day and lift them up in prayer as well. We lift up those who are ill and injured and pray for healing according to your will in their lives. We also pray, O God, for those who are in mourning this day, having lost a loved one. They too may feel your comfort and your peace in these moments of feeling alone and lost. Lord, we're especially mindful of the September 11, 2001 anniversary, 15 years. Lord, for some it seems like so long ago, and for others it seems like it was just yesterday. Lord, we can, one of those pivotal moments in our nation's history that we know exactly where we were when we received the news. Lord, we pray for those who died, that we should not take them for granted. You have blessed us, created us, and given us lives to share and enjoy. Lord, help us to share our lives with others, that they too may know our joy and our hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask all of this. Amen. Gifts, a way of saying thank you to God for all of his blessings. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
I will be with you there.
that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we go out from here to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, to go into the world, where we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Scripture today, and today's scripture is a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
From Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 26. You have heard that people were told in the past, "Do not commit murder. Anyone who does will be brought to trial." But now I tell you, if you are angry with your brother, you will be brought to trial. If you call your brother, you good for nothing, you will be brought before the council. And if you call your brother a worthless fool, you will be in danger of going to the fire of hell. So if you are about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go at once and make peace with your brother. Then come back and offer your gift to God. If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, settle the dispute while there is time, before you go to court. Once you are there, you will be turned over to the judge, who will hand you over to the police, and you will be put in jail. There you will stay, I tell you, until you pay the last penny of your fine. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray together. Lord, we have heard these words of Jesus and read them for ourselves this morning. And Lord, they're so easy on paper, but so difficult to put in our lives, to obey, to follow. Lord, we pray this morning that our hearts and our minds may be open to receiving a message from you that may help us in our daily living, that may help us in our relationships with one another, may ultimately lead us to a perfect place, a place called heaven. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Where were you on the morning of September 11th, 2001? That day is one that is indelibly etched into our minds and our memories. It is similar to the days of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the assassination of President Kennedy, and the Boston Marathon bombings. Those who were alive at the time of these events can remember precisely what they were doing when word came of these tragedies. And so it is with 9/11. Undoubtedly, each of us can tell our own 9/11 stories. When the towers were toppling, the Pentagon was under attack, and an airliner was missing and then discovered crash in a Pennsylvania field. Those of us removed geographically from those sites had our own level of emotions. Millions of people in New York City or Washington or close to them saw, heard, and smelled horrible things that we did not. They choked on the fumes and were temporarily blinded by the plumes of dust and debris. But no matter where we were on 9/11, all of us were in the thralls of fear and anger. We gave ourselves over to their stifling and intoxicating embrace. We need to ask ourselves, what are the long-term implications of a society dominated by the politics of anger? Or on a more personal level, what are the implications for a family that is dominated by an angry style of relating to one another? Or for a community like Ferguson or Flint or even Dallas, for that fact, that has its own understandable anger issues? Jesus taught in today's scripture, "But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable for judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire." Jesus puts anger here in the same category as murder. It seems a high, uncompromising, and utterly impossible standard which Jesus is calling us to. We may find ourselves asking, aren't there occasions when anger is truly righteous? When we're permitted to launch expletives much stronger than fool at our enemies and get a pass on the lake of fire? Jesus gives no indication our feelings are true. He admits no gradations in anger. Cursing the other driver who stole our parking place appears to be in the same category, morally speaking, as spraying machine gun bullets in a shopping mall. Our spirits want to rebel at Jesus' unwavering consistency. As good as it feels to open the floodgates and dump a torrent of rage on someone who's harmed us, the message of the Sermon on the Mount is, don't do it. It's an especially hard, difficult teaching because we all know that so much of our anger arises unplanned. We don't usually get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be angry today at so-and-so. Anger is a primitive emotion that the Creator programmed into our genes so that our ancestors could survive. Anthropologists speak of the classic choice between fight or flight. An early reaction our ancestors had to display in the face of a perceived threat. Let's say a wild beast suddenly appeared in their camp. In a split second, each person in that little band of hunters and gatherers would have to decide whether to head for the hills or pick up a pointed stick and do battle. Most of the time, each one would make that decision in a split second on a barely conscious level. The emotion that surfaced, fear or anger, determined which choice each member of the tribe was likely to make. In either case, the strong emotional response sent a shot of adrenaline surging through the body, preparing the muscles to either run fast or thrust hard with the spear. In such circumstances, anger is a positive advantage. The problem arises for us when something that is not lethal, not even potentially so, triggers that primitive defense mechanism inside us. That something may be a perceived insult or a slight as minor as another driver getting into the toll booth lane ahead of us. To act out anger in such a circumstance is foolish and even dangerous at times. Yet it's something a great many of us come perilously close to doing sometimes. In reading Jesus' words, we need to understand that it's not sinful to have angry feelings. Feelings are not something we can easily control. That primitive but effective programming imprinted on our genes will lead to angry feelings from time to time. The real question is, what do we do with those feelings? There's a wonderful word of instruction in Ephesians 4, verse 26 that says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." The assumption here is that anger is going to happen. No one can stop it. Yet we do have the power to decide not to dwell on it. We can resolve not to go to bed angry, but rather to seek reconciliation. Most doctors' offices and medical facilities contain in their treatment rooms plastic boxes labeled sharps. The sharps container is designed to be a safe repository for hypodermic needles, lancets, and other medical implements that pierce the skin and could potentially spread germs or disease or hurt others. Many of us believe we only have two choices when it comes to the disposal of emotional sharps, our angry feelings. We can either stuff them in or let them out. Neither one is a very good choice in most circumstances. We need a safer disposal method. The consequences of letting anger rage unchecked are obvious. Broken relationships, hurt loved ones, and eventually social isolation. The simple truth is, habitually angry people end up having very few friends. Other people simply do not want to be the targets of their rage, so they keep their distance. Eventually, the only ones left are those who can't so easily get up and leave, the angry person's family. And sometimes, in truly abusive circumstances, even they must escape the toxic environment for their own safety. In some cases, anger is dissipated by being released and things return more or less to normal. Yet, in certain people, the release of anger triggers such an adrenaline rush that it results in a kind of euphoric high that no drug could produce. These rageaholics as they are sometimes called, are among the most dangerous people to live with. They develop over time an almost addictive need to be angry. And so they let themselves explode into rage with little or no provocation. We might know someone like that. We might be living with someone like that. The other common but inadequate choice of how to deal with our anger is to stifle the angry feelings. In light of the teachings of Jesus, this may seem at first to be a compassionate Christian response, swallowing the fire so that others will not be burned. In reality, though, everyone ends up being a victim. When anger is internalized, it can lead to physical illness. It can also lead to mental disorders, such as depression. For one major psychological theory of depression is that it is anger turned inward. Stuffing angry feelings may be a certain usefulness in the short run, but in the long term, it can be deadly. Fortunately, there is another choice, a middle way between the two extremes of losing our temper or stifling it. That middle way is to name the anger and to send it away, to claim it, to identify it, to own it, and then send it packing. At first glance, this may seem an inconsequential choice, but it is not. Naming is a very powerful psychological response. The writers of the Old Testament knew this particularly well. In their way of thinking, learning someone's name gave you power over that person. You may recall Jacob was wrestling with a mysterious human figure at the fords of the Jacob grapples with this powerful but mysterious stranger all through the night until finally he exhorts a blessing from him. And he asks the stranger his name, but the stranger will not give it to him. Because of this, Jacob knows the stranger is God, recognizes God in the stranger, because God would not reveal his name to Jacob. Centuries later, Scripture tells us about Moses, who was off on a hillside watching over the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro. He comes up to a bush that is on fire, yet is not consumed. And a voice booms out from the burning bush telling Moses what he has to do to rescue the people of Israel from Egyptian slavery. Knowing it is the Most High God, Moses asks the name of the one who is addressing him. And then Moses learns something that his ancestor Jacob never did. My name is I Am That I Am, was the response from the burning bush. Armed then with this, with the ultimate weapon, the very name of Holy God, Moses is finally prepared to do battle with the Pharaoh of Egypt. In much the same way, knowing anger's name and being able to speak it is often the first step on the road to gaining power over it. Simply admitting by saying, I'm angry, transforming a you statement into an I statement, is often the first step on the way to no longer being angry, to own it and claim it. It's a strange thing, but anger is such a powerful emotion, it can be difficult to recognize from within. How often have we heard someone say with gritted teeth and clenched fists and steam almost literally coming out of their ears, I'm not angry. Oftentimes, angry people try to shift the blame for their emotions to others, claiming they were unreasonably provoked. I'm guessing that you're seeing or identifying either yourself, probably, and or some others in these statements. But the fact is that anger is often a secondary emotion. It's the stunted offspring of some other primary emotion, one so troubling it leads its victims to choose anger as the less threatening of the two choices. Very often, the underlying emotion of anger is fear. Many of us have long been taught to hide our fear, so we break out anger instead. Anger seems to show that we have power for some reason. That same thing can happen with sadness or envy or jealousy. Those are all things we're not supposed to be doing, we're not supposed to have. These emotions themselves can likewise feel very threatening to us. So some of us, in response to those feelings, deploy anger as a last primitive line of defense. The key to dealing with the many varieties of anger, then, is to search beneath the surface of the angry feelings and try to discern what's really going on. Then, once we have identified these true feelings, we're able to name them and thereby gain power over them and then put them in their rightful place. In the Sermon on the Mount, from which today's scripture comes, it's just a small portion of a long discourse Matthew records, Jesus is not telling us to despise and to flee from the angry feelings that sometimes emerge from our subconscious, especially when someone attacks us. Like a sharp medical instrument, anger sometimes has its legitimate purpose. The goal is to learn how to handle it and learn to dispose of it properly. So going back to where I started this morning, where are we now as a nation? 15 years after a fierce, loathsome enemy entered our country, even entered our living rooms through the televisions with the intent of sowing hatred. The last time something like this happened, after Pearl Harbor, we focused our collective rage into a massive war effort and then pivoted, transforming our anger into compassion, using the Marshall Plan and the rebuilding of Japan as a way to ensure that unprovoked attacks would not recur. This time, the enemy is not so easy to find, and millions of innocents are in the way of any massive military response. Perhaps it's time to drop the scalpel into that sharps container and seek out ways to disinfect and to bandage the wounded of our enemies. Anger may be a useful emergency response in an evolutionary sense, but it's a poor guide for building a life together. How easily can we move from calling our enemy fool to far more deadly descriptions? Perhaps it's time in our individual human relationships, as well as our national life, to dispassionately do what needs to be done, to restrain the most blatant evil while putting the greater part of our energies into building understanding and relationships. May God bless us as we seek to live faithful and obedient lives as we serve both God and neighbors. Let's pray together. Lord, today is a day filled with painful memories for many, painful in our nation's history. And yet, Lord, we were buoyed by responses to the feelings that took place after 9/11, that people came together, they cared for one another, that the anger was put into constructive means. Lord, we continue to be angry over many different things today. Lord, we're mindful of the words in Ephesians to be angry but do not sin. Lord, we pray that we may be mindful of that, and that we may follow Jesus, and that when we do feel that anger rising, that we can pause for a moment and ask ourselves, what's going on? Why do I feel this way? And what is the best way to respond? Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be with us, to guide us, empower us in every day of our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Glorious Freedom, and it's printed on the insert. Trust in God so completely that we are freed from fear and anger and energized to face the challenges of these days. Let us go with courage, for the Lord of hosts is with us always. Amen.